mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My fellow workers and celebrators in the Lord, for more than 1900 years, the Church has had the sacred commission to bring Christ to men and to bring men to Christ. For more than 1900 years, the Church has been directed to push through to the ends of the earth and carry its message to all classes and colors and races of mankind. For more than 1900 years, the Church has been challenged to sound forth the one message that people are saved from the eternal destruction in hell by this ageless message and promise, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1900 years has been a long time to impress upon the Church that its chief task should be the saving of souls for salvation through the precious blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. Yet, unfortunately, so many churches today, which once represented Christianity, are no longer loyal to that Christ and his word, and as a result are no longer walking on the old paths on which the saints of old in the past plodded along to glory. To such, the principles of Christianity are way out of date, entirely antiquated. To such, the Bible has outlived its usefulness, and its teachings have no place in our modern progressive world. Jesus Christ is not looked upon as the divine Son of God and Savior of the world, but merely as a good man, a wonderful teacher and example, a martyr who sacrificed himself for a certain cause and principle. And the Bible is not looked upon as God's book, not the holy, inspired, and inerrant word of God, but merely as a book which teaches morality. There are teachers and preachers and pulpits today who are not even sure who the triune God is. And there are teachers in our divinity schools who ridicule the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. All of these have given up the old paths and have sought new ways, with the result that men's souls have been bottled up in hopelessness and darkness. Today, on this Founders' Day, when we are privileged to celebrate the 138th birthday of Concordia Seminary, I would beseech all of us, I would beseech the members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I would beseech this seminary, its faculty and its students and its workers, to follow the advice of the prophet Jeremiah as he writes in the 16th verse of the 6th chapter, "Ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And I would ask all of us also to think of the words of Jesus in Acts 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." When our Lutheran fathers left Europe to come here to America in the early 1800s, many of them did so for reasons of conscience. They sought a land where they could preach and teach and hear the truths of God's word. true doctrine, genuine orthodoxy, coupled with godly living, were the dominant desires of their hearts. In this new world, they found new conditions, new problems, new temptations, which made strict adherence to the Word of God very difficult. Indeed, there were even those who predicted that such strict orthodoxy would soon meet its doom. However, God graciously strengthened the pastors and the people and enabled them to be faithful to His Word and to the Lutheran confessions. There were other Lutherans also who had come to America for the same reasons, and they soon discovered that the most urgent and crying needs of those early days were pastors and teachers. Interested people in Germany saw the distress of their fellow Lutherans here in America and sought to supply pastors for them. And many of them came, but they found the work to be all too great, and they pleaded for more and more help. Thank God that when our Saxon forefathers settled in Perry County, Missouri, they were led already then to proceed to establish a school and a seminary. Lowly and primitive as it was the answer to the future needs of manpower for a growing church. It proved to be the beginning of our excellent system of colleges and seminaries where men are trained and become well-indoctrinated Lutheran pastors and teachers. And so on this Founders' Day, let us not forget that lonely log cabin in Perry County, Missouri. It still stands there as a monument to the faith and the vision and the courage of our Lutheran forefathers who wanted above all to walk in the old paths where is the good way. Walking those old paths, they, as our text says, found rest for their souls. And that promise remains the same for all who walk in those old paths. And ye shall find rest for your souls. The Holy Spirit, through His power in the Holy Word, brings to us the biggest and best blessing that can ever come into our life. The Holy Spirit brings rest because He leads us to the rest-giving Savior Jesus Christ, who calls out to all, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And oh, how we need this rest. Rest from pain and sorrow. Rest from weakness and disappointment. Rest from bruises of body and bruises of soul. For comfort in days of distress. For help in days of trouble, for strength in days of weakness, for rest in the days of weariness and pain, I point you to the eternal Son of God, who shed His precious blood for your sins, and who now invites, "Come unto me, and ye shall find rest for your souls." In all the world, there is no one who can help us, forgive us, or save us but Jesus Christ. He is the only one. And what a tremendous price He paid to give us that rest for our souls. When Dr. Samuel Parks Cadman, Brooklyn's noted radio preacher, lay on his deathbed in Plattsburgh, New York, messages of sympathy came from many admirers from far and near. But the best message came from a humble laboring man who simply wrote, "I haven't got any money, but if Dr. Cadman needs any blood, he can have all of mine." And this, no less, my friends, is the message of our dying Savior as he died on the cross and poured out his life's blood for the sins of the world. Just think of it. Christ, the Son of God, by his own choice, out of love for us poor and lost and condemned sinners, died on the cross as our substitute. Our sins became his sins. Our guilt, his guilt. Our punishment, his punishment. In order that we might be forgiven. In order that we might not have to suffer the tortures of hell. In order that we might have life instead of death. Isn't that tremendous? And what is even more tremendous is the fact that when he broke the bonds of death by his own resurrection from the grave, that was God's own guarantee that Christ had fulfilled everything that was needed for our complete redemption. Oh, what rest that should bring to our sin-sick souls. And the beauty of it all is this. That rest is supremely ours when the Holy Spirit leads us to accept Christ as our own personal Savior by penitent faith. This love of Christ for us, this love of Christ should motivate every one of us to direct others to that path that leads to Christ. So many people in the world today are sick. Sick with the lust for power, for money, for pleasure, sick with sin. And we have the remedy for that sickness because God has placed it into our hands. God has given us the gospel of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is a gospel which tells us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is a gospel which assures, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It is a gospel which declares he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. It is a gospel that promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is a gospel which emphasizes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now to train men to preach and teach this gospel is the chief task of this seminary. And to train men to equip God's people for witnessing and serving ministry is also the task of this seminary and its faculty. And may we never forget that. Indeed, it is the task of all of us to hold high the cross of Jesus Christ so that all the world may see it, so that through it, the Holy Spirit might be the conveyor of salvation to all mankind. Indeed, it is only because of the Holy Spirit's power that we are enabled to do this. As we today celebrate the 138th birthday of Concordia Seminary, we think of another birthday, the birthday of the Christian Church here on earth, on the day of Pentecost. And as the Holy Spirit descended upon the heads of the disciples, so today the Church must realize that our power still comes from above, a gift of the Holy Spirit. As Peter and the first preachers of the church were filled with the Holy Spirit, so the ministers of God today must also be filled with that same Holy Spirit and endued with his power. As the message of Pentecost was based upon the full word of God, so also today the church must bring to people the living bread from heaven. As Peter denounced his hearers as the ones who had nailed Jesus to the cross, So also today, sin must be denounced. And fearless men of God must cry out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But as that Pentecost sermon proclaimed the truth that Jesus died for the sins of the world, so today also we must tell people that they are saved for time and for eternity, not by the best that they can do, but solely by the grace and mercy and love of Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His blood alone can cleanse us from all our sins. So let me repeat and emphasize this old truth once more. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And may we never forget that. As we now conclude by saying happy birthday to Concordia Seminary on this 138th anniversary, may God keep this school, its faculty, its students, all of us, on that old path which leads to Jesus Christ and to his Holy Spirit, and which finally leads to eternal glory. Amen. Now unto him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests before God and the Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.